Well, let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And while you're doing that, let me just sort of mention to you what we're getting ready to do on Wednesday nights for just a few weeks. You know, there's something about the word new that every one of us like. You know, we like to hear about new job opportunities, or we're thinking about different things through this new year. And as I was thinking and praying about Wednesday nights, it just came to my heart and my spirit to deal with the new nature that you and I have in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought seriously about what happened to you at salvation. A lot of times we'll hear somebody say something to us and we say, well, I got saved, or I was born again. But for the next few weeks, we're going to go in depth and share with you in detail, to those of you who are children of God, exactly what happened to you at the new birth experience. Why is that so significant? Because there's a lot of people that are really missing out on enjoying the life that God wants them to live because they don't really understand what happened at the new birth experience. And so we're going to be looking tonight at a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, Paul is talking to the saints of God at Corinth, and he is talking about the new heaven, he's talking about the new body, and he talks about the new nature that you and I have as born-again believers. Now, you know, when you think about new, you know, every one of us, as I said, you know, we think about different aspects when it comes to new, and Paul wanted the saints of God to understand what they were now because of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you this question. Do you really know what happened to you when you were saved? If you are saved, do you really understand what took place in your life, in your spirit? Do you understand what happened legally that is now available to you? We don't think about things that happened to us legally. We think, well, as I just mentioned, we got saved. Well, that's what I want us to look at tonight. So if you'll take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians, I want to look at these three verses of Scripture. There's so much more that we're going to look at, but tonight we're going to just sort of highlight a little bit of the new nature. Now, I want you to listen to what Paul is saying. He's talking to those saints of God. I want you to know he's not writing to lost people. He's not writing to unbelievers. He is writing to the church. He is writing to the body of believers that's in Corinth, and he is wanting them to know more seriously who they are, what they have because of Jesus Christ. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to read out of both translations tonight so you can to listen to it out of the King James and then out of the Living Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I want you to listen to it out of the Living Bible. It makes it a little bit more common vernacular, but it doesn't lose the integrity of the passage. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All these new things are from God, who brought us back to himself through what Jesus Christ did. And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into the favor and be reconciled to him. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. Now, before we get into the detailed outline, you have another sheet that I gave you Now, I know that you're going to want many copies of these. You'll probably want to frame them and put them in a prominent place because of artistic value. Well, there's not a great deal of artistic value about this, but it simply gives you a visual feature so you can get an idea of the two natures that we're going to look at tonight. The Bible says, if you look at both of them, the one on the left represents Adam. And you'll see at the top, it says in Adam. And the one on the right, in Christ. And underneath that, you'll see the words all mankind. In other words, whenever you was born into this world, whenever anyone was born, that represents the totality of mankind. Naturally, I couldn't put 6 billion people on the face of the earth. I just, made dots representing the whole. But here is what Scripture declares about you and me. You and I, when we come into this world, we are in Adam. That means that's the old nature. That's exactly what Scripture talks about, the old nature, Adam, selfishness, greed, and the like. And Paul talks a great deal about it, lasciviousness, lust, coveting, immorality, adultery, all sorts of those things. That's why you look at the world and you say, why is the world doing what they're doing? Why are they acting the way they're acting? Why are they behaving the way they're behaving? Just the other night, Charlotte and I, we didn't really think we was going to watch the old year out and the new year in, but we got to watching something. I said, well, it's 5 till 12, turn over, and we did, and there was Carson Daly, and about 12 o'clock, they had a couple of individuals kissing. And when I realized that's not a man and an ugly lady, that was 2 men kissing. That just absolutely galled. But that's exactly what the world does. The world is in Adam. The world is sinful by nature. Now, I want you to listen to the words by nature. It is the habit of the world to sin. And so the Bible makes it clear that at the end, there's going to be death. You can take 2 people as they leave this world. One's an unbeliever and another's a believer. And it's amazing how they both approach death. Why? Because in the person who is in Adam, he really does know, or she really does know, that when they come to the end of their life, it's not going to be a pretty scenario. Because they know instinctively, because it has been engaged into their system by Holy God, they know that they're under the wrath of God. I was listening to someone just the other day. They was bidding on some item. I think it was on TV, and it had to do something with about the idea of hell, and it was a painting of hell. And I can remember the fellow who was bidding on it. He said, "I hope that's not real." Even instinctively, he had an idea about that place. Well, the Bible says that every one of us are in Adam. So that means that our Adamic nature is to sin. And here's the reality. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So at the end of every person that's in Adam, here's the reality. In the old nature, there's going to be death, and there's going to be eternal death. Well, you say that's people who steal and kill and rob and murder and all that. No, that's every person that does not have a regenerated nature. That is every person that is without Jesus Christ. They may be a good moral person, and somebody would say, well, how can a good moral person go to hell? Why would God send a good moral person to hell? Listen to me real carefully. How can a person be a good moral person when he or she has basically rejected and turned and snubbed their nose toward the one who created them? Now think about it for a moment. Can you really be a good person, moral person, if you stub your nose at the Creator who made you? No. And so, we say, well, they're good moral. In other words, I've not seen them do horrendous acts. But the Bible says that we were conceived into iniquity. In other words, there is hanging over all mankind that is in Adam death. You don't have to do anything to be in Adam. That's the way we all came into the world. That's the way every man, woman, boy, and girl. My little granddaughter, she is in Adam. Now, you say, well, she don't know to sin. Well, I don't know about that. Because little babies can steal before they can walk, and they can lie before they can talk. And I have almost seen her sort of, "Mom, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to cry. Nobody's going to have any rest around this place." Well, that's because we are in Adam. And Paul makes very clear, and we're going to deal with some more details a little bit later on to give you some more information. But that simply gives you just a reality. Now, I want you to notice something, and because this is what we're going to deal with tonight. You will see that there neither two can come together. There is not two persons that is in Adam and in Christ. And I'm going to deal with that in just a moment. Because there's some theological thoughts. Well, you know, I just can't help but revert back to my old ways and my old nature. Yes, you can if you're in Christ. But you'll see this is Christ, this is the cross, and here are two individuals that by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, they move from being in Adam to being in Christ. And so what happens when they are in Christ? Here's the reality. You have a new nature. Now, I want you to hear the word nature. You have a new dispositional outlook on life, not because you have a different frame of thinking of your own initiative, not because you have done a lot of study and research, but there is something that is changed on the inside of you, and that something is someone because the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence on the inside of you. It's not that you're afraid you're going to get caught. There is something different because you have a new nature. And so there, not only is it life, but you'll look, and there is that reality. Every one of us, as we face a new year, we don't know if we're going to live throughout this new year. None of us know what this year holds. The Bible says no one knows what a day holds. But here's what we do know. For every one of us that are in Christ Jesus, it's okay. If I die tonight on my way home, now, you know, I don't want to rush my time. I want to drive safe. But if somebody plows into me and this is my last message that I'll preach tonight, it's okay. Why? Because I am in Christ. I'm ready to go. And I know that. Well, let's look tonight because we're going to look at the two natures because, first of all, we're going to look at what it means. What does it mean to be in Christ? Because when Paul is speaking to the saints of God, he wants them to understand. He wants them to know. He wants them to realize precisely what God has done in them, what has happened to them, and who they are not only now, not only for the rest of their life, but for all of the rest of eternity. You see, one of the things that we forget, we're not made for time. You were never created for time. You were never created just for this one earthly life. You are created for eternity. That's why your life is of such significant value to God. And that's why God is serious about your life. He don't want you to waste your life and squander your life. Well, Paul is talking to these saints, and simply put, whenever a person becomes a Christian, that person receives by God a new nature. Now, when I was an 8-year-old little boy, I remembered when I walked down the aisle and I invited Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I didn't know any terms. I just knew that I felt queasy, funny, odd on the inside of me. And I was just really happy, even though I had school the next day. You know, I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of difference. You know, the grass seemed to be greener. The sky was bluer. And here is what happened in my life. I became a new creation. And what I noticed was this. I could relate to God because, and here's what you and I need to realize. God places in true believers a brand new nature. Now, you know, some have the idea, and I want to camp here for just a second. Some have the idea that we have two natures on the inside of us. I want you to listen because this is something that theologians have argued and discussed and some of the greatest minds. And I was reading a tremendous saint of God, Dr. John MacArthur. And I agree with what he shared. We don't have two natures living on the inside of us. If you're a child of God, listen to me real carefully. You don't have two natures on the inside of you. You don't have an old nature and a new nature living on the inside of you. Because that would be saying, well, you know what? I'm half unregenerated and I'm half regenerated. Or I'm half lost and I'm half saved. That is not the case of Scripture. If you listen to the very words of Paul, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is, he didn't say he's part new, he said he is a new creation. The word creation carries with it, he's a new creature, he's a new building, he's a new creation. It means the word katisis, and it has the idea of a building. He is brand new. Now, you don't look any different on the outside. And so, you know, you're new. That means that there is a different value system on the inside of you. Now, somebody would say, well, now, Pastor, if I have a new nature, why is it that I have the pull to do the things that I did before? Here's the reality. You still live in a human body. You still have a flawed human body, and we still have habits that still stifle us. Let me give you an example. Person comes to faith in Jesus Christ that has the habit of, now I'm just going to pull this out of the air, folks. I'm not insinuating anything by it, but I'm going to use it just as an example. They still have the habit of smoking. Okay, when they get saved, do they stop the habit of smoking? Well, I have a precious father-in-law that he smoked until he couldn't smoke anymore and had a heart attack. They told him to quit smoking, so he quit smoking and went to chewing. And so that was a whole lot better. Well, we still have habits, and habits have a powerful force upon our life. But here's what Paul said. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are new. There is a new disposition on the inside of you. There's a new frame of reference. And you see, when a person becomes a new creation, here's what happens. You remember in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they died. Now, I want to qualify what it means by death. They didn't fall over and die. You remember, they were still walking around, so in what way did they die? They died in their relationship to God. They couldn't, as far as their relationship to listen to God, to hear God, to follow God. And so that's the same way it is when we're in Adam. And so the new nature brings about the reality of fellowship. Here's what I remember as a boy and what happened to you if you're saved. You received a new nature on the inside of you and you wanted to read the Bible. Now, you tried to read the Bible. If you're anything like I was, I wanted to read the Bible so bad, but I would get to Numbers and the devil would work on me. And I would read Numbers and I thought, and the tribe of, and I tried so hard. Now, it wasn't that I didn't want to read. The Lord knew my heart. I did. I tried over and over because there is a newness about your disposition. Now, sometimes somebody will say, well, you know what? I just can't tell anything different about my life. It is not something that man does to you. It is something that holy God does to you. And that new nature never alters. Now, can a person fall back into sin? Yes. We can act out of character with who we are in Christ Jesus. We can, you know, act inconsistent with what God has done in our life. And so, you know, the thing about it is a person who's outside of Christ, you know, they may acknowledge there is a God. They can acknowledge that God exists. They can acknowledge that Jesus exists, but they can't fellowship with God. There is no fellowship with God to a person who is without Christ. Why? Because they're dead. The Bible says they're dead in trespasses and sin. And they may look at other people and they may try to, they can try to do something, but they can't. Because they don't have the new nature. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched a lot of actors on TV. We all have. But here's something I've noticed through the years. No actor can ever portray a preacher very well. Have you ever noticed that? Try to find somebody to portray a preacher. They can't do it. Because that is something that, or a true, genuine Christian. Why? Because that is a divine activity. And you see, the reality of it is, Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. There is a different line of thinking in your being. Because Christ has taken up residence. Christ has taken up his place in your life. Now, one of the things that as you read this and as you study the text and as you look at it, one of the things that happens is this. Paul makes it very clear some things both happen and don't happen. You don't do what you did before. Look at what it says. Old things are passed away. What old things? Well, I lived in a neighborhood that was very rough when I was growing up. I lived in Middlesboro, No Town Road. You've heard me say it many times. I think Byron took a picture of it sometime back when he was up that way. And it was one of the roughest communities. But as I grew up, something I realized inside of me, I didn't really want to do what the other people were doing. I mean, there was probably opportunity to drink and to get drunk. There was opportunity to do all, but there was something inside of me, and that something was someone, and that someone was the risen Christ. Now you say, well, that's just because of you. No, it's not. D.L. Moody said some years ago when he was alive in the 1800s, he said, I drink and I dance and I party all I want to. He said, I don't want to. And our want to's change. There really is a radical difference. And so a man that's a new creation in Christ, he doesn't focus on sinning. Now, let me stop there and say this. Do you sin? Yes, you do. Do you find yourself doing things and saying things and acting certain ways that you? Yes. But here's what you do. After you do it, you get so upset at yourself. Lord, I know you're the most unpleased with me. I guess I'm on the bottom of your list. You know, you probably, why? Because that's conviction. The Bible makes it very clear there is conviction if you're a child of God. And so, you know, we may look like we did on the outside, but on the inside, there is a difference. Listen, God don't save people 25 different ways. There's not 25 types of Christians. There's not 25 new natures. And some individuals, if you look at them and say, well, how can they lie and they cheat and they steal and they do this and they go to church? The reality is they're either carnal or they don't have the new nature. It doesn't matter if their name is on the church roll or not. And the reality of it is when you are saved, legitimately, authentically saved, God puts the nature of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And sometimes we may act like the devil. Now listen carefully, but we confess it, Father, forgive. I shouldn't have said that. And you know what you do? You pick up the phone, that person you acted like the devil with. I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You know what I'm talking about. Well, so first of all, what it means is, it means that you're not who you used to be. You're not two natures. You're not half saved and half unsaved. You don't have the old man and the new man living on the inside of you. You're not half saved and half lost. That'd be a strange individual. Paul said you are a new creation. Now, why do we have trouble? Because we still live in an old, sinful, wicked, ungodly, ruthless world. I mean, this world isn't wanting to please God. The world's wanting to please itself and the flesh and the thing. And that's one of the things that we struggle against. But second of all, how does it happen? Now, let me say this before I get into second. The Living Bible says we become a brand new person inside, and that is actually what takes place. You become brand new. And there is something strange that happens. I've noticed this as I'm starting to get a little bit older. I said one of the significant things you can tell about being 50 and older, the things you look forward to, poof, they're gone. You know, they come and go just like a breath. I mean, you look forward to Christmas and it's over. You look forward to some event and it's over. But Paul said, you become a brand new person. Now, God never puts his holy nature inside of a person and they are able to act the same way. Let me give you an example. This is a crude example, but follow the frame of reference. Here you have a cat. And here you have a dog. What if I had the ability to put the nature of that dog, all that that dog is, in that cat? Well, that cat would be different. It would act different. It would have a different, it'd be interesting. But here's the picture. The old man has been put away. That's what Paul says. From God's perspective, you're no longer who you used to be. And the best way to think about it is think about a little caterpillar and a butterfly. You know, you've seen little caterpillars out walking around and then they become this beautiful butterfly. Now, they can walk around like they did before, but they're acting out of character. And so, second of all, let's look at how it happens. Now, there's a key phrase in Paul's word to the Corinthians. He said, if any man be in Christ. Now, I want you to take your little outline again, very crude, but I want you to notice, it's in Christ. He didn't say if any man's around Christ, if any man is in Christ. Let me give you just a little example. We are in the sanctuary. We are in the facility. We have all the protection that this facility can give to us. In other words, if a storm is coming, we're thankful we're in the sanctuary. We're in the building because it gives us all the protection. Well, if we are in Christ Jesus, there are so many things that have legally happened to you and me that we need to realize. And it really is exciting once you think about it, because follow along. You know, when a person is genuinely in Christ, when God sees us, he sees Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that happen? Only God understands that. But I'm going to heaven, and I'm not going to heaven because of Benny Bush. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And so the reality of it is the person who genuinely believes in Christ, he's identified with Christ. And when a person places his or her faith in Christ, God places that person in Christ. That's why if you are not in Christ at death, you are in for doom and devastation and eternal death, because there's only one type of individual that can withstand the wrath of God, but that's the believer, because Jesus Christ has taken our wrath upon himself. And so the thing about it is we're not righteous on our own. And our faith causes God to identify us with Jesus Christ. You remember I said we're in Christ. And so when God looks at you, he looks at Jesus Christ. Imagine you being on the inside and God looks at Jesus Christ and he sees Jesus Christ every time he sees you. Why? Because you have invited Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And so when God counts us in Christ, we've died with Christ. That's why you don't have to pay for your sins. You know, somebody looks at you and say, well, you must be holier than thou. How are you going to go to heaven? Not because you're good, but because someone has paid for your sins and you've accepted that person's payment. You see, I'll just pick on Jerry right here. He's a dear friend. And Jerry went down to the bank in the morning. He said, you know what? Let me have Benny Bush's note. I'm going to pay everything off he's got. And I go down to the bank tomorrow afternoon and I say, I don't want to pay on my note. And they say, excuse me? It's already taken care of. And I look at them and I say, no, look at my account number. And they say, it's taken care of. Well, here's the reality. When you are in Christ, you have by faith accepted his payment for your sins. Amen? You have allowed him to pay for your sins. You say, well, I'm lost. Didn't he pay for my sins? Yes, but your unbelief has locked you out. That's why you cannot have eternal life until you, by faith, believe. And so when, you know, just as Christ has a new life after his resurrection, you remember Christ died, he was buried, he was resurrected. Same thing's going to happen to you. You're living, you're going to die, you're going to be resurrected. You're going to be resurrected in a brand new body. Now, my personal opinion, you're going to be about the same height in your resurrected body. You're going to be completely you in your resurrected body. You're just going to be in a perfected state that God has so designed, and you're going to be that wonderful human being that he designed you to be for all of eternity. You say, yes, bring it on. Well, that may be for a little while, and then it may be not as long as we think. But think about it. God made you to be you. And my feeling, the Bible says you're going to have a new name. But, you know, I don't think we're going to lose our identity. And so, you know, but the reality of it is you receive it by being in Christ. The new nature comes by being in Christ. That's why it's so significant. You know, if a person, here's a good indicator. You know, a person can lie and cheat and steal, as I mentioned a few moments ago. And they say, well, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's amazing what people don't see a little bit wrong, you know, a little bit wrong in our culture, in our day and time, sadly. What's so wrong with pornography and what's so wrong with this and what's so wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with it. It is not a part of the new nature. There is something inside of you if you're a legitimate child of God. You say, that doesn't fit who I am in Christ Jesus. And so when we're in Christ, He divinely puts a nature inside of us that's loving. You know the best way to be the best husband and wife that God wants you to be? Being a Christian. Now, sometimes we come across, and it's really an oxymoron to use the word, well, that person just seems to be a hateful Christian. Now, don't answer this out loud. Have you ever met a person who just, well, they're a Christian, but they're one of the most hateful Christians I've ever met in my life? Chances are they're either a carnal Christian or they're a fake Christian. There is no such thing. Now, can we walk backwards? Can we go back in our walk with the Lord? Yes. But Paul is making it very clear. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What's the old things? The old desires, the old cravings, the old yearnings, the old wants. I think I may have used this different time, but I remember a dear friend from childhood, and he was a good drunk. He could hold his alcohol with the best of them. But when he got saved, he got marvelously saved. And when we had church outings, he'd tell my dad, he said, now, Preacher Bush, you let me bring the ice cream and the watermelon. And I thought, there's a saint. You know, there's a man after. Why? Because there was a change. He didn't want that. Now, was he tempted by it? Probably. Because remember, we still have our old nature. There's something in every one of our lives that we're tempted by. You know what yours is. There's something that you're tempted by. You say, well, I'm a new creation. That's why there is that yearning in your spirit to fight. If you was in the old nature, you wouldn't fight. You would give in. You would cave in. Well, because there wouldn't be any power, which is a person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, to fight. But there is, and you just resist. You resist. You resist those images that come in your mind, or maybe it's some temptation, or maybe it's some thing, or maybe it's some type of drink, or maybe it's this, that. Because there are a lot of folks. I've known some through the years, and especially growing up where I grew up. They were saved out of alcohol. They were saved, you know, out of horrible situations. Was the temptation still there? Yes. But they yearned to be what God wanted them to be. Why? Because the new nature on the inside. Well, look at the third one. Now, you know, so it happens when you're in Christ. That's why whenever you was convicted, let me give you just a brief snapshot of a person's salvation. Maybe a person is listening to a gospel record. Maybe they're listening to a message. Maybe they're just listening to some Christian talk. And all of a sudden they become convicted. And they feel that conviction on the inside. And what's going on the inside? And they realize before a holy God they're a sinner. And God is convicting them that they're in Adam. And then they come to Jesus and they pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I invite you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And you say, well, how does it happen? Paul calls it a mystery. He says, there's a mystery about the gospel that we'll never understand this side of eternity. But he makes very clear, you know, what does it look like? Well, the new creation, Paul used the word new creation to give you a snapshot of what it really is. You are a new creation. Let's take one of us. Maybe a few years ago, you wasn't a Christian and you got saved. Did your hair turn a different color? No. Now, maybe through time and through processes, it turned a different color. But it didn't because of the new birth. Did you all of a sudden get taller? No. But what Paul is talking about inwardly, there is that inward yearning to please God. Now listen to me real carefully. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. when you are regenerated, there is a yearning in your soul because you become alive to God for the first time in life. And he's become alive to you. And you realize your dad runs the world. I don't know if you like if you think about that, but I just love thinking about that. Sometimes when things are chaotic and life is difficult and things are hard, I just like to think, you know what? My dad runs the world, and it's really okay, because that's really the truth. Well, you know, no one knew better than the Apostle Paul what the sinful life looked like. Now, let me give you a picture. When Paul was in Adam, now, when he was in Adam, in the old nature, he bragged about what type of person he was. He bragged about his zeal. He bragged about persecuting the Christians. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, man, I could beat anybody in keeping the law, but he was in Adam. And people who are in Adam, on the Adamic nature, they love to talk about themselves. You got 25 minutes. Just sit there and let me talk about me for a minute. You know, because that's part of being in Adam. Now, it can be an immature Christian, but oftentimes it's in Adam. And so, you know, he realized that something radical had changed in his life, and here's what it was. It was that new nature. He didn't want to hurt anybody anymore. I love what I heard Billy Graham say one time. And I thought about this. I will stop for a rabbit to cross the road. I have to stop quite a bit on my road, but I remember him saying this. He said, you know, walking at my driveway, he said, I really don't even want to kill an ant. Now, you may say that's a little bit extreme, but here's the reality. There is an affection on the inside of you. You don't want to hurt anything or anybody, not because you're afraid of them, but there is a yearning deep, 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 deep in your soul. And you have the nature of Jesus. And the nature of Jesus is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That simply is the nature. And so when a person is truly saved, notice I said truly. Are people falsely saved? Well, there are people who walk down the aisle and they say something. Just have to share this with you. I really struggle sometimes. I think, Lord, if they're truly saved, why aren't they in church? And even though my mom and dad made me go to church, there was a yearning. There was something inside my soul. Now, sometimes I'd go to sleep during half the message, but I wanted to learn. My courage and maybe my energy level was not what it should be. But here's what the new nature demonstrates. And here's something. If you don't have this, it's a sign that you're not regenerated. If you have a family member, you know, because here's the most significant point. There are many who pretend to be Christians, but you can't fake true love. You can fake for a little while, but you can't fake very long. That's why a lot of times when couples will get married and they can put on the dog for 6 weeks, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, you're not going to put on the dog for a long time. And a person who is genuine, they are genuine. Do we all have our moments? Yes. We've got our moments, just like I shared, and I'll tell you because you won't tell anybody else. I was getting on the interstate the other day, and I can tell you because I know you'll understand. And this tractor and trailer wouldn't let me on, and I said it. I did. I said it. Got on the interstate and I said, Mr. Jerk. But you know what I felt after I said that? Bad. He wouldn't let me on and I said, Father, forgive me. He might have been a Christian. Then I thought to myself, well, if he was a Christian, he wasn't acting like a Christian. You know what I'm talking about. But it don't have to be anything big. You have a new nature if you're legitimate. And you're not trying to put on to anybody. You're trying to please your Father. Because here's the reality. He loves you more than you can ever humanly comprehend. He has more in store for your life than you can ever imagine. And you see, just as the members of our body have to stay on our body to be effective, if I'm really genuine, I stay attached to Jesus. There just is that reality. Paul said, the old things have passed away. And see, the thing about it is, you know, you're not trying to prove anything to anybody, but here's the reality. We're all going to leave this world. We may be able to fool some people some of the time. We may even fool a lot of the people a lot of the time. But nobody ever fools God any of the time. Amen? Whenever I get ready to leave this world, He is going to know. New nature. This person gets ready to leave this world and they've been pretending. They've been putting on. They've been acting. They've been playing the part in Adam. And when they die, condemnation. And a word that is the most horrendous word in all of the Bible. The wrath of God. Every person that is without Jesus Christ, the Bible says the wrath of God. Friends, we don't know what a bad time is. If you could amplify the depression in the 1930s to 100 times, you and I couldn't comprehend the wrath of God. And that person who's without Christ, the wrath of God is on them. You say, that's pretty serious. Yes, it is, because here's what they've said. God, I don't need you. Jesus, I don't need you. Holy Spirit, I don't need you. I'm going to live my life my way. And in the end, there is nothing but death. Aren't you glad you have the new nature? You're a child of God. Amen. And friend, if you're here and you don't have the new nature on the inside of you, it's as simple as ABC. You say, I want to be right with God. It's real simple. Let me just take a minute to tell you how. You have to admit. You have to admit to yourself and you have to admit to God you're a sinner. You know, you say, well, that's bad. No, it's bad not to. We're all sinners. Then you believe. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Folks, there's no reason for Jesus to come if we weren't sinners, and we're all sinners. And then you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You say, Pastor, is it really that simple? Well, I can tell you this. As an 8-year-old boy, when I bowed at that altar and I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, it was just like an explosion in my soul. Why? Because I meant business with God. Before we dismiss, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. Maybe you are here and you don't know the Lord and you'd like to invite Him into your life. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to this altar. But I'm going to give you an opportunity right where you sit to make your peace with God if you'd like to do that. Would you be willing to pray this simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't have Jesus in my heart. I know I don't have eternal life. But Lord Jesus, right here and right now, I admit I'm a sinner. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me. And Lord Jesus, I confess and I ask You to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank You. And Father, You know each of our hearts. You know each of our souls. You know each of our spirits. And Lord, thank You that the new nature You give us is an eternal nature. It's never taken away. We never lose it. It's eternal as God is. And Father, I pray for those who may have prayed this prayer. Father, I pray for them. May we each exemplify a life of the new nature as we live every day before a lost and dying world. In Jesus I pray. Amen.